about it because I was driving down Route 519, and if you weren't careful, you miss it. But there was a special sign nailed on a tree, and it said, "Work from home and make $2,500 a week." And it said, "Without even getting off your couch." I was pretty excited because I know people looking for work and they can sit on their couch and you don't even have to spend money on gas. So I wrote down the number for you if you want to take it down. Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. It's the number, it's the letters. A-R-I-P-O-F-F. There you go. So you go ahead and you call that number and get you a good job. All right? Yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit tonight about job descriptions. I didn't see a lot of description on that sign. I saw a lot of promise that I don't know if it's really going to come true, but I didn't see a lot about the job description, what you're going to have to do besides sit on your couch. And tonight, we're going to be looking at another job offer. An offer that was given to some men, and the offer that they were receiving, they knew an awful lot about. It wasn't a bogus sign nailed onto a tree. Instead, it was Jesus offering men the opportunity of a lifetime, or should we say an eternity. So our passage tonight is coming from Luke chapter 5. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, that would be a great thing. We'd like you to always bring your Bible when you come to Westbridge. Doesn't matter what version you have, bring your Bible. I want you to get familiar with that. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. We're going to bring all the pertinent scripture up on the center screen. We're going to look at more than Luke 5 as we look tonight at our study. We're going to continue a series where we're taking a walk with Jesus. Jesus has left his home, and he's left his home from in Galilee, and he started taking a walk. He went to the Jordan River, where some incredible things happened, and we learned a lot when he was at the Jordan River. We learned a lot when Jesus went into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil on that section of his walk. Then we saw how Jesus swung around, went down to Cana, and he had a visit at a week-long wedding. We also saw Jesus go up to Jerusalem and cleanse the temple. All along this walk, we've been learning more about Jesus and learning more about ourselves. Well, on tonight, Luke chapter 5, Jesus' walk brings him back to Galilee for this leg of the journey. So that's what we're going to focus on tonight in Luke chapter 5, and let's pick it up right there. One day, start Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, that's Peter, so he asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now, go out where it is deeper and let your nets down, and you will catch many fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we will try again." And this time, their nets were so full, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their parents in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the size of their catch, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Now Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And soon as they landed, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Here we have Jesus making the job offer. And we also have the offerees, the ones being offered the job, we have their response to it. You see, Jesus is, I guess we can put it in like our work terms, Jesus is building his company. We can call it a company, it's his ministry. And he is handpicking who will be his supervisors in his company. Now, at first reading, when you read this, it may seem that this offer on Jesus' part comes from out of the blue to these men, as if they never saw him before. But if you read all three accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible, we realize that that's not the case. We find that these men knew quite a bit about Jesus before he calls them to give their lives for his mission. Let's look at some of the things these men knew about Jesus and the profession that he was offering them and the response they made. This is coming from what we've previously studied. First, these four men understood Jesus' business. They understood his business was going to be ministry. Here's what they knew. Jesus had these followers with him. He had followers with him at the wedding in Cana that we talked about, where he changed the water into wine. We are told that Jesus and his disciples were there. And that's a loose use of the word disciples. But it says people who were following him were there as well. Jesus had followers with him when he cleared the crooks out of the temple. Again, followers with him. Jesus probably had these men with him when he spent 2 days in Samaria, where he taught who he was and what his mission was. And these fishermen saw many Samaritans believe in Jesus as the Savior from God, the Messiah. See, as far as these four fishermen's understanding of who Jesus was and what his product was, they knew. They had been watching. In fact, Andrew, Peter's brother who was there, one of the four fishermen, Andrew, had spent time with Jesus ever since John the Baptist told him to when Jesus was baptized. Remember he said, I need to decrease, you need to increase, Jesus? He told them, follow him. And Andrew went and followed Jesus. This was all after Jesus was baptized. You see, gang, with God, there's no hidden agenda with us. God doesn't hide anything with us. The product Jesus is marketing, just in case you want to be sure of what Jesus is marketing, is this. He is offering eternal life through the forgiveness of sins. Jesus had proclaimed that he came to set us free from the sin chains that we forged in our lives. And two, a release. He came to release us to a life of fulfillment, a life of purpose, a life with hope in it, no matter how dark it gets, a life of peace. And all these offerings are accomplished through the relationship that we can have with God through Jesus. That was what Jesus was offering. Jesus was very clear with everyone about what his business was. And he still is today. Now, maybe you've been coming here for a while, and this whole Jesus thing is starting to make a little bit more sense to you since you've been coming. Maybe you're starting to see a difference in the people who call Jesus their Savior by being among this group. Maybe in this place on Saturday night, God has shown you what true life is really all about. You see, God is not about tricking people or hiding his purposes. Instead, he offers us an opportunity to travel alongside of him. Walk along with Jesus. Walk along with his people. And that way, you can gather your conclusions on what you see. And that is exactly what we do here. One of the things that we do that's interesting, and nothing great, we're nothing special, but one of the things I appreciate about this place is we get in here at 5 o'clock. When we get in at 5 o'clock, we start unloading trailers. But the front doors are open. And this room is open. There is no waiting behind locked doors to get into the service. One of the things we like is that people can come at 5 o'clock and they can watch how Westbridge comes together for 2 hours. They can watch how Jesus' followers interact with one another, whether we yell at one another, whether when somebody makes a mistake, you give them one of these, you know, or a couple of these. We like you to be able to see that stuff. Because I think if you watch as Jesus' followers do Jesus' business, his ministry, It can be done with love. It can be done with respect. Done in a way that's honoring. So we don't lock people out until the finished product is ready. People can watch the whole thing come together, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and see what life in Jesus Christ's family is really like. That's how we do things here. And just like these four fishermen, you and I, we have the opportunity to witness God's workings. What we do is we watch what God has done in other people's lives. Jesus, the one who spoke to the woman at the well and his followers watched, Jesus, the one who talked to the woman at the well, is the same Jesus who speaks to the recovering alcoholic here. And you can watch that. Jesus, the one who heals the sick, can be watched as he was by the fishermen. Just like he comes, like you can come here and watch God heal relationships between son and father, mother, daughter. The same Jesus who supplied wine for a wedding feast and had people watch it is the same God who supplies the needs of each of us, those struggling to make it through a recession. Jesus makes quite sure that you and I know what business he's in, and he made sure these fishermen knew it. We just need to keep our eyes open as we travel among his followers, and then we too, like these four fishermen, will understand fully the company that Jesus is offering them a job in. But there's more than these prospective employees understood about Jesus' job offer. There's more. The next thing they understood was they understood the job description. What would serving God mean? What is it that these men would be doing as employees of Jesus' salvation business? All right, you know, well, what do I got to do? What are you offering? Well, Jesus makes that clear as well. But he also makes it abundantly clear what serving him, what his business is not about. He made it clear in a lot of different stops that they made what serving God was not about. Serving God would not be about going through elaborate traditions that had no meaning to the worshiper. You would not follow Jesus and do things that were just kind of traditional and have no meaning on your life, no heart in it. Your soul wouldn't be invested in that. Serving God would not be about withdrawing from people because we think we're more holy than them. That's not what Jesus was about. In fact, he went to the people like Peter said, "I'm the most sinning guy you're ever going to meet. Stay away from me." And Jesus said, "Really? Most sinning guy I'm ever going to meet? Perfect. You qualify." Serving God, the job he was offering, was not going to be about keeping score of how many of God's rules you were able to keep and having a little mark on the wall for everything you did right. That was not what serving God was going to be about. Then what would it be about? Instead, those who traveled with Jesus saw exactly from Jesus what this new job would be all about, and it's this: serving God is serving others. That's the job. Throughout the Bible, gang, in fact, throughout the entire church age, the church age started after Jesus ascended and then Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came to people's lives. That's when the church age started, when the church began, and it's to this day. Throughout the church age, whenever God has placed a calling, whenever God has called someone and had them work for him on his team, the root purpose of that calling was to help someone. Always to help someone. In many different ways. You can plug any follower of Jesus into this equation and you will find that their service for God, if it was a legitimate service for God, was always for someone else's benefit. In fact, Jesus would teach that this motive, the motive of serving others, would be the acid test for one's service for God. Let me read you Matthew 25:31. This is Jesus speaking. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the foundation from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." You see, Jesus says very emphatically that he is the one we are serving when we assist, when we serve others who are hungry, when we help others who are thirsty, when we help the homeless, the unclothed, the sick, the imprisoned. Just as our love for God is reflected in our obedience to his word, that's how God judges our love for him, our service for God is reflected in our other-mindedness, an attitude where we put others' cares before our own sacrificial action of helping others. Now, these fishermen, by watching Jesus, had seen that serving God had nothing to do with people bowing down before them as great men. Serving God had nothing to do with personal gain. That wasn't what Jesus was offering them. Serving God had nothing to do with getting. Instead, serving God had everything to do with giving. And yet, the paradox of the Christian life is that in the giving, the servant finds joy. When we give to others and when we give to God, we find purpose. When we do what God calls us to do in serving others, we find fulfillment and who we were designed to be. I have watched many here at Westbridge do just that. I have a friend. When I first met him, he didn't know God. Came to Westbridge for a while, and eventually he realized Jesus Christ is the answer. He's the one offering me eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all through faith in what he did on the cross. My friend accepted that, and I baptized him. But it wasn't long after that that my friend started to find that he was interested in things that had to do with drama. So I said to him, "Oh, good, have you ever done drama before?" "Nope." "But I'd like to write." I said, "Oh, are you a writer? Do you write well?" "Not at all." Man, this is going to be a tough one. Then my friend, after he got involved in that, decided he wanted to see, I want to tell others about Jesus. So little by little, we tried him in different spots to see, hey, maybe this is a fit for you. Maybe this is inside you, something that God gave you to serve others. Well, last night he taught the youth group, taught fuel, and he's done it many times before. And he's on our stage all the time in dramas. He found his spot. He found how to serve others in that aspect. And in serving others, he found out who he really is. He found out who he was wired up to be and the gifts that God had placed inside of him. Okay, now let's recap. All these individuals learned firsthand, these fishermen, all these individuals learned firsthand what Jesus' job description is and that serving God is serving others. Now, perhaps the last thing for tonight that these fishermen knew about Jesus' job offer to them was this: all payment, all reward for this is going to be deferred. through good times and difficult times of serving God, the paycheck is deposited electronically into a trust fund that we don't get to and that we can't see this side of heaven. It's on the other side. But every now and then, it gives us a little glimpse. Jesus never sugarcoated what following him would mean. And we don't sugarcoat it around here either. If these fishermen said yes to Jesus' calling, there would be some tough days. Occasionally, there would be a tough week. And every now and then, you have to go through a tough season. This man in the drama is going through a tough season, isn't he? But the thing about seasons is seasons are designed to change. And for him, I think his clouds are breaking. All because he received a tiny glimpse of the payment. And that paycheck that he saw is nothing compared to what we will receive when we serve God and what these fishermen will receive on the other side. Jesus said this in Matthew 19, 28 through 30. In the recreation of the world, when the Son of Man will rule gloriously, you who have followed me will also rule, starting with the 12 tribes of Israel. And not only you, but anyone who sacrifices homes, family, fields, whatever. You've sacrificed that because of me, you will get it all back 100 times over, not to mention the considerable bonus of eternal life. This is the great reversal. Many of the first ending up last, and many of the last ending up first. Payment is definitely deferred in this job offer. The job description is clear. It's about serving others. And Jesus and his product, he makes that clear too. These fishermen knew these things. They probably even knew more than what Jesus was offering in this job. But he invited them to be part of his amazing, life-changing work. So what was their response? Do you remember how that passage ended? Would they take Jesus up on this offer? Reread verse 11. It says, as soon as they landed their boats, they left everything and followed Jesus. And even more, not one of these four fishermen, not one of them, would turn their back to their calling. This calling to serve God became their life. They didn't start and peter out. They didn't start and fizzle. They went to the end, fully serving God. But there's just one more piece of information about Jesus' job offer that we've got to bring out tonight. But this piece of information about the job offer, this isn't for those fishermen. This is for you and for me. And it's this. Jesus is offering us the exact same job as he offered those fishermen. God is calling you and me to be players on his team, not just fans who watch others. You see, God calls fishermen, and he calls women who are standing at wells who've had broken marriages, many. People with bad reputations, God calls them and says, you, I want you down here on the field playing for me. Jesus called criminals to serve him. He calls firemen. He calls painters. He even calls homemakers and homeless people to serve him. He calls people whose honest response to his call is what Peter's was. oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. In Jesus' mind, he must have been thinking, oh, I know you are. That's exactly what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. So if you're sitting here tonight thinking, I'm too much of a sinner to be around you, Lord. I'm not really qualified to play on this team. Well, you're carrying the exact same credentials as Peter then. You're just being called to different opportunities than he was. Maybe God is calling you to invite your friend. Friend from work, friend from the neighborhood, relative, old-time Facebook buddy you just got reconnected with, and invite them to church. Maybe God's calling you to ask someone else to go for a cup of coffee or a Coke. Just see how they're doing and see if they've connected with a God that you know all about. I don't know what God's calling is for you. I'm learning about mine. I don't know what God's calling is for you, but I know this. He is calling. He's calling you and he's called me. He's calling us out of the stands and onto the field. Maybe this avenue works for you very well, like with my friend who you saw tonight in drama. Maybe helping out in our kids' bridge is a way that God's going to ask you. One of the avenues to serve him, serving others. Maybe it's taking a risk and joining our dance team. We have a lot of unqualified people there, huh? Wow. They'll turn you into a dancer. They've done it. Perhaps God's calling you to cut up vegetables and make coffee at 5 o'clock for our guests. And maybe God's calling you to help unload 2 trailers that are sitting outside. Maybe God's calling you to help videotape a service that'll go out on the web for anyone in the world to see. Or maybe God is asking you to join with him changing slides on a computer so people can see the Bible. Peter never in a million years thought he would be a minister. He didn't think that was in him. What I want to leave you with tonight is the question, what did God put in you? 1 Corinthians tells us every single one of us have a gift, an ability that God puts in each one of us who accept him. And that gift is for serving others. You've got that. Just need to uncover it and tell God, I'm for you. I am yours. I'm going to ask the band and the worship leaders to come back as we take an opportunity to respond to God. Take the opportunity to tell him, you know what, Lord, I didn't know all this. I thought that job offer was just for a bunch of fishermen 2,000 years ago. I didn't realize the job offer is for me as well. And you can take the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, I accept. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Whatever it is, serving others, and he may change what it is along the way, but that you'll do it until the day he calls you home and rewards you for it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that that would be our cry to you, that I am yours. Lord, we know that anything we give for you, we're going to receive a deferred reward later. But God, we also know that we find life when we lose ourselves in serving others and serving your causes. Lord, help each of us to engage the offer that you've given to each of us. Lord, it's far greater than $2,500 a week sitting on the couch. It is a reward that can never be taken away, that moth and rust will not destroy. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to find our place and serve you on the playing field, not in the stands. Lord, I pray that that may happen this week as we go and we move among the world that you've put us. People will see at work. People will see in the neighborhood. People will talk to on the phone. People we meet through the internet. And I pray that you would help each of us to let our lights shine and to be fishers of men, that we would show others the hope, the truth, the life that we have found in you. We leave ourselves in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody. See you at 7 o'clock next week.